Welcome to the show, everybody. Today's episode, I thought we'd talk a little bit more about AEW's women. I feel it's definitely more for us to speak on with these amazing, talented ladies. And also, we're going to talk about the possibility, the TBS title that might be coming. And also the Trios title. So that's what today's episode is going to be about. And then we might, finish off with some, with some nappy thoughts. Start a little something new to add, add to the show at the end. So that's what today's episode is. Welcome to the PVO show, and it is your boy, DLP the Prince, and today we are going to start off, let's talk about the TBS title that's coming, that's possibly coming. Now, it has been said that the TBS title will be a second individual title for the women. I've seen some people have some interesting thoughts about this. You guys know on the last episode, we were talking about the women's division and pretty much like what's going on with the division and how things kind of progressed when they first started. It was a little rough. But if you think about it now, honestly, with the women that they have available now, if you are watching the product, you're watching everything that they're doing with like Dark and then being able to see Dynamite, not so much action Dynamite for all of the ladies, but at least with Dark, you definitely get to see some fresh faces in there and you get to see some of the ladies, continuing to do their usual deal. Dark, I love because, they can bring in a lot of fresh faces because those talents doesn't have to be people that are signed to the product already. They can be people that's already in the indies and they're just making their debut with AEW and just trying to see if they can do what's necessary in order to be able to get a contract. So I always talk about Dark on this show just about that, because like if you ever want to see these young people that really are just trying to progress and, learn and just, get a contract, get notice. You don't even have to sign with AEW. Like really, some of those guys are still like working with other promotions and they could have had signed with other promotions. And it's a great product. If you really look at like what they've done with Dart, I always talk about it because it's really cool. You're unsigned talent. Fresh off the street, trying to work with the company. And I'm not really sure like what they all have to do in order to, get picked up to at least, show off what they can do. I'm not really sure how they get picked, but for what it's worth, these indie wrestlers, these wrestlers, they're just enjoying themselves, man. Like some of the faces that I'm seeing that are not doing well, they've shown enough in their matches that in a year from now, we can see that person get signed. Like that person can end up coming back and get signed and then they're a fresh face in the company, or I'll see that person show up on Impact. Like Impact is nothing to sleep on. Impact is a great place for some talent to be able to go and develop and do their own thing there. It's really just a blessing with professional wrestling right now with what's available. They are like, if you are a free agent or if you are an indie star and you're like looking to see where do I want to go, like man, the sky's the limit for you. It's those options they're available to you. It's really cool, like how that's just, how that worked out. So, what our women's division for AEW, there's enough faces on there. There's enough faces that we've now seen. Everybody should know who's available. So many different faces too, you know, other than the ones that you've already seen a lot of. You know, Britt Baker, she is the face of the women's division now. She's, you know, saying it, you knew that they were headed that way anyway. Everybody knew that they were going to put that title on her at some point. They were going to get that title around her waist eventually, and they did it. And when they finally did it, it took off, it shot off, you know what I mean? And that's while other people already had that title. You know, two Joshi wrestlers have had that title. You know, saying, you know, we had Sheeta, she already has had the title. And then Riho, our first, AEW Women's Champion, has already had that title. So, like, you know, it's nice to, you know, to know that that was something that the company went in as far as the direction. Because would WWE had done something like that? Not sure, you know, but. And I didn't even really mean a jab, throw a jab at them, like, you know, like what they would have done that, you know, like maybe, you know, who knows. Impact, you know, saying a lot of other companies out there, like what they would have made that move. It's an interesting topic to talk about as far as, like, you know, with Riho, like her becoming the first AEW Women's Champion. Like, this is your inaugural champion, and they gave it to Riho. And I ran with it. My fiance absolutely adores Riho. She loves her. She's like, when I see her, she's awesome. She's like a toothpick. I'm like, yeah, that girl is small, but look at her. You know, saying, like, when she's moving around the ring, you know, saying her flexible, like how flexible she is, but also her technical wrestling is just something to be admired. Things that she was able to pull off really worked well. I definitely want to see her and Britt Baker go back at it. That's always a, you know, saying, like, I want to see that again. Definitely, we haven't seen Riho in a minute, but, like, hopefully, we get to see her again, get to see her again. But, like, see these, you know, saying these names here, there's a lot of faces, And really, for what they have right now, what they're able to showcase, that, you know, just by turning the tide just a little bit and giving you a little bit here and then giving you a little bit there. They pop in and give you a little bit then, and then they give you a little bit here. You know, it's kind of working itself out now. If you look at the women's division now, for what's available, hell, Jamie Hayter coming back, that's a huge interjection. Like, she came back, she redefined herself a little bit, you know, tightened up. Now look at her. She's in great shape. People have, you know, saying, already seen a couple of her matches and are already talking about, like, well, damn, when does she get a chance at the title? And see, there you go. That's all it takes. All it takes is, you know, saying the right spots. And, you know, I've just constantly been waiting. I'm not doubling down on what I said, though. There's still improvement to be made with the women. There's so much improvement, you know, saying that's still available and it can still be done. So, like, it's not finished. You know, the work is not finished. I definitely don't want to, you know, saying, I have to say that, you know, like, it's not finished. They got a lot of work to do. But this TBS title, and I seen someone say that I don't think that this TBS title is going to work out because their women's division still needs help and it is bare. These are people that don't watch the product enough. They're watching probably only Dynamite, maybe a little bit of Rampage. You know, it does come on late, so it all depends on if they go back and look and watch the episode. But if you look at Dark and see those faces that come in there and you see those matches, and again, with the fresh faces that they got available coming in all the time, if you see that, then you'll, you know, saying, you'll at least get, you know, like, okay, things are getting better as far as the depth of the women's division for AEW. While the numbers may not be as much as some of the other companies, as far as what they have now, we were talking about it yesterday. I named about 10 people, 10 women. Right now, there's nothing wrong with that. Even though that, you know, saying we're talking about like 10, 11, maybe even like 12 women and whatnot, the ones that everybody at least has seen on Dynamite, you have seen all of these women, about 12 of them. You have one AEW Women's Champion already. There's a possibility we may be getting her to stay in somewhat of a storyline with Ruby. You know, they may want to go ahead and pluck that nerve already and, you know, maybe give Britt a strong challenge. And after that strong challenge storyline is done, you know, like at least it'll calm everybody down and she's had her major storyline. She's had her major rival to take on. Not necessarily because, you know, you still have Thunder Rosa, but like right now, they're kind of leaning towards like, hey, we can use Ruby and really grow off of that. At the same time, with the Rampage match, well, not even Rampage, Dynamite, the Grand Slam match for the women's title, that also could be a good setup match basically for Ruby's, for her introduction to the company, really, when she came and entered the ring at All Out, she was there for the buy-in. You know what I'm saying? She showed up, she was able to showcase her talents and everything, but that wasn't a one-on-one match. You know what I mean? That wasn't a pay-per-view one-on-one square up, let's beat the shit out of each other match. That wasn't that. You know, it was a buy-in. So not a whole lot you can do there. You finally get that match at Grand Slam, but it's for the title. I know that they can't, you know, saying they couldn't do what they did with Daniel Bryan, but honestly, I could have pulled that plug. If I was Tony Khan, I would have probably had pulled the plug too, and we would have had two matches where Ruby goes up against Britt Baker just because she just wants to beat her ass. Not even because she wants the title. She just, look, I want to, you know what I'm saying, I want a match. Let's go. You know what I mean? I'm loving, like, the way that AEW kind of, like, does some things where, like, maybe these matches should only be for a pay-per-view. And then I think about that. It's, you know, I thought about that for a little bit because I saw people that were saying, you know, like, certain matches, like, you know, they gave this match away for free. I don't even like you talking like that. Because first off, there's somebody that paid to fucking go to that show. Now, I'm not saying that Tony Khan and them are doing this. This is just other people's thought process. Other people's thought process is like, y'all, you know, saying y'all got that match for free. You know, it's a weekly episodic show. What's the problem? Well, you know, like, you know, that match, like, it's cool that some matches are supposed to happen on pay-per-view, but damn, you can still have some TV matches that go hard. Like, I like the way that AEW star process is. They, you know, they're not hiding their, they didn't hide the Young Bucks and keep them, you know, saying at the pay-per-views. They didn't hide Kenny Omega and only have him show up at the pay-per-views. They didn't hide anybody. No one's hidden. No one like is a champion and just you don't see them. I love that they haven't done that. You know, they didn't follow that freaking moniker. I'm sorry. That Brock Lesnar shit is annoying. I do like Brock Lesnar, but I'm sorry. The booking for Brock Lesnar is just fucking stupid. At least show up to a TV show. Just because you ain't got to fucking wrestle. Who said anything about wrestling? You just got to show up to Raw. This motherfucker couldn't even do that. barely would show up to Raw. And if he did show up to Raw, it always had to be some big ass spectacle. Like, what the fuck, man? I don't know. I hate Brock's booking. It's just fucking stupid. Because, I mean, how many times are you fucking surprised when he shows back up? Like, calm down. I'm like, if he wins the fucking title, guess what? You don't fucking see this motherfucker. You know? If this son of a bitch has the fucking title, you don't fucking see him. Like, where's your all champion? Yeah, he don't like doing Raw. Oh, shit. You know, and if you won the SmackDown title, you know, like, where's your champ? Yeah, he said he don't like doing the weekly shows. Like, what? He don't even do the house shows. Yeah, I know, but he don't like doing the weekly shows either. It's in his contract. He don't like doing this shit. Like, when's he going to show up at the pay-per-view? Maybe. He might skip this one. It's kind of trash. That honestly is how Brock probably is too with his agent. Like, there's nobody has a fucking contract like Brock Lesnar besides the Undertaker. Hey, one match. All right, that's gonna cost you like $80 million. Okay. This man would train a whole year for this one match. It's crazy. So a TBS title coming to the women's division for AEW, it's not a terrible idea. People really just don't know how to open their mind and think. You need to use this process of thinking, storytelling. There's a lot of storytelling that goes with this. See, one thing that you most definitely can do as of right now, keep Jade Cargill the hell away from Britt Baker. Say their names in the same spaces. Cool. You know what I'm saying? Put up some dumbass spots where they show up and they're in the same room. Stuff like that. Do, you know what I'm saying, do three-way matches and stuff like that. Never allow them to have a one-on-one match. Let this be something that happens within like a year or 6 months, but you need actual storytelling. You need to build it up. Every time that they pass each other, they cross each other's path, there needs to be hostility. Jade Cargill is somebody that's really, she's going to have the room to be able to take off. And this is going to hurt some other people out there. Because, see, I'm a fan of Big Swole. I didn't know Big Swole was, I think they said Crohn's disease or something like that. So, like, I didn't know that she had an ailment and stuff like that. And it's awesome that Tony Khan and them, like, you know, they take care of her. You know, like, they got her back. You know what I mean? She does what she's got to go do. But she can do that worry-free without her boss kind of like in the background, kind of saying like, hey, you going to show up to work today? No, you're not going to show up to work? Okay. That's your check. Like, it's cool that Tony Khan is, you know, like, he's flexible for a lot of these wrestlers because, truth be honest, they're like, they fucking need it. You know what I mean? Like, they need someone that's, you know, that's going to listen and be like, hey, we got your back. You know, they need it. So, Big Swole, I would have, you know, saying, honestly, would love to see her with the title, you know what I'm saying? But, like, a lot of, you know, saying there's still some growth for her. Her and Diamante, I think, have a storyline now. But if you look at Jade, Lord have mercy. If you look at Jade, she's a total package, man. You know, she literally is the total package. That lady is a diamond for sure. She's an absolute diamond, man. She is literally, her physique is absolutely insane. It's crazy. It's crazy how much shape that woman is in. You know, built like a stallion. Whew. I tried to do like a horse song, but it was terrible. But, I mean, like, man, this woman, she's, you know what I'm saying, she built. She stay in the gym. You know what I'm saying? She a big girl. She not small. For whatever reason, somebody called her a man. That's just somebody being a little punk, being a little bitch. You know, I'd never say that she looked like a man. That girl does not look like a man. All right, that is a chiseled woman made from perfection. Like, literally, it's insane how much shape she's in. It's crazy. And then when you see her strength, good God. You know what I mean? Like, picking them other chicks up just with ease. You know what I'm saying? Just swoops them up and puts them in their her finisher. And it's just like, yep, that's right. As long as your finisher is believable, you know? Because if I see you fucking doing a pump handle slam, you know what I mean? Like, it's a wrap for you. I'm gonna stomp your ass out in these streets. I'm gonna stomp your ass out in these streets. So a TBS title is not a terrible, it is not a terrible thing. The TBS title being around somebody like Jade is perfect. You know, in your own little, you know, saying in your own world with that TBS title, you make whoever holds that championship, you make them a beast. Understand? You make them exciting. You make them somebody that's exciting. There's a lot of different ways they can go with that. You put that shit on Jade and say Jade says, okay, from now on every week, I'm going to have a fucking match for whoever wants to try and go up, you know, saying go and take my title. You know what I mean? She can do some shit like that. And everybody would believe that. And she can have like 5 defenses, strong defenses that are done weekly to showcase this is her talent. This is how good she is. You know, I'd be all for it. I'd absolutely be all for that. You put that belt on Thunder Rosa and go in a babyface side of things, and you're going to be cool. You're going to be good because, you know, Thunder Rosa is definitely over with the fans. She's got the fans behind her. So she's just waiting for her time. So you put that belt on her. You're going to, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to lose. You put that belt on Ruby. You're not going to lose here. You know what I'm saying? You're only making good decisions at this point. You know, you put that belt on, you know, saying on a good, solid person, and you're looking at some good things coming your way because whoever it is that has that title, they're going to be able to do something, you know, they're going to be able to make some moves, you know, and you keep that person away from the champion, you keep that person away from the AEW champion. They stay away from that person for about 6 months to a year. Now you got yourself a big match. And you got options. You got Jade. You got Thunder. You got Ruby. You got Nyla. You know, you easily have options to go in. Hey, buddy. My pup is all restless. All right, here. Let's pay some bills real quick. Welcome back to the PVO show. It's your man, DLP the Prince. Let's finish out with our nappy thought. I thought I'd, you know, try a little something, something new to add to the show. We'll finish out with, you know, just something that I was thinking about. Today's nappy thought of I was watching one of my favorite movies, actually. I was watching Fast Time at Richmond High. It's a classic. And this movie, I love this movie mainly because all of the stars that are in it. At the time, None of these people were stars. They actually were all young actors. All of the actors and actresses in this movie, a lot of them, everybody has seen them in something. You've seen Sean Penn, you've seen Forrest Whitaker. Like, those are your two big names, you know, saying from the cast. But the rest of the cast, you've definitely seen them in something. Like, it's insane how, in some kind of way, sort of, they're around. You know what I mean? Like, they are active, you know, saying they're still active. The ones that are still alive, they're still doing things. So, you know, that part has always been interesting to me. But, like, as far as the movie goes, it's classic. It's one of my favorite movies. I can watch it pretty much every single day. I got a lot of movies that I can watch every day, but definitely Fast Time at Richmond High is just always a good time. But, man, there is something about this movie. It kind of made me mad because, like, some stuff you kind of, like, you overlook it. And, you know, I wasn't even high or anything. You know, I had just woken up and just decided, you know, like, hey, I hadn't seen Fast Time at Richmond High in a little while. So I was like, all right, screw it. Let's go ahead and just watch this. Just to kill time. Bullshit. You never even know. I might even watch it right after this. But I was stuck in thought for a second. And when I do that, sometimes when I'm watching a movie or watching a show, I'll pause it. I have to let my thoughts, you know, like, kind of come out, especially when I'm by myself. I got to have them, like, release my thoughts out. So it's really good for me to have a podcast because I kind of let this shit kind of, like, just leap out. But watching, you know, one of my favorite movies, you know, the first 10 minutes of this movie, if you're thinking too much, and then not necessarily, you don't need to. It's a lot of fucked up things that happen in this 10 minutes, man. If you've seen this movie, you already know where I'm going with this. Because, like, let's face it, Fast Times at Richmond High, you couldn't make this movie in 2021. You just couldn't. You absolutely could not make this movie. And especially with this scene, or these scenes in general. When they're showing off the mall, you know the main young lady in the show, in the movie, you know, she's working, you know, saying she's just working at this fast food place at the mall. And she's, like, not even in high school yet. Like, she's getting ready to start high school. So she's, like, around, like, 15 years old. And her friends are like, hey, you know, saying go over there and go see if you can, you know, saying get that hot guy's number, because they're all talking about the guy. You know, girls always talk about guys and stuff like that. But they were really pushing for her, knowing that she's underage. Like, they knew she was underage. They were pushing for her, yo, go get his number. Like, go get his number. And somehow, some way, they're talking, and he was already down for it. He was down. He, you know, saying he ordered his food and got her number. Like, you know, he was like, yeah, I got that shit. But before he necessarily got the number, she lied about her age. They had already said she's, like, 15 years old. She lied and told him she was 19 years old. So he was like, word, this is all good. I'm gonna smash them cheeks. And guess what? Spoiler alert, he smashed them cheeks. If you ain't seen the movie, that's on you. This shit came out in the 80s. You know, this came out a long time ago. But seriously, he fucking smashed. You know, she eventually snuck out the house and they went somewhere and then they did the deed. I'm telling you right now, the scene where they had sex at a baseball field. Like, you know what I mean? Like, a local baseball field that's out there, and they fucked in the dugout. That's weird. Like, that's really fucking weird. Like, I mean, if that was a thing back in the day for y'all out there, yeah, y'all weird. That's I know some people like to try things and have sexual escapades, but it was such a weird ass scene. Like, it had rape all over it. The sad part is, though, I was like overthinking this like a motherfucker, but then I thought about, like, no, I'm really not. This first 10 minutes is fucked up, because think about this, man. She lied and said she was 19 years old. If anybody had found out that he smashed, that nigga in jail, because he's like 25, 26 years old. He, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was not young. He was extremely fucking young. She's 15. You could not make this movie in 2021. 15-year-old girl going out lying about her age. And I was talking to my fiance about that shit, and she was like, you know, I didn't even think about that part. And like, you know, man, like, times were different. But that shit was dark just to think about for a second, though. It's young ladies out here that are frivolous, you know, in their own way, they're go-getters. You know, they're gonna get theirs, because a lot of guys are stupid. And you're not gonna say no. Some guys are not gonna say no. They'll be just dumb enough to do anything. But like, it is. I was telling my fiance, I was like, I do think it's like really fucked up, though, because like, I mean, I know I'm overthinking as far as the movie and shit. Like, damn, that's fucked up. Like, this dude's walking around thinking like, yo, I just smashed this chick. Yeah, word. And the whole time, bro, you smashed a 15-year-old girl, but you wasn't looking for no young girl. That's the most important part. If someone found out and he got in trouble, if that was you or me, like, we'd be screwed sitting there trying to explain ourselves. And I was telling my fiance that. I was like, yo, like, if you go somewhere and you meet somebody and, you know, you ask, you know, like, hey, how old are you? And they tell them, you know, they tell you, you know, I'm 18 or I'm 19. Okay, cool, work, you know. All right, you legal, you're not a child. Kind of, sort of. You know, like, you know, and I'm just telling her, like, I just think it's, you know, I'm like, it's fucked up, man. I'm like, imagine going somewhere and, you know, you're in an adult environment or whatnot. You try to meet somebody and they go and do this here. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, man, these young ladies out here, you, at no time did these guys, and, you know, if they interact with a young lady, but you ask to make sure, like, hey, you know, what's the age, you know, like, hey, I'm this old. Oh, you know, I'm 20. Oh, okay, word, cool. You know that girl was 14? No. Come on, come with us. Bro, I didn't know. They're like, yep, you're coming with us. She lied. It is really scary out here that there are some females out there that can lie about their age. And if you look at, you know what I'm saying, if you look at certain situations out there legally, there's some people out there that they haven't been able to fix their life because a young lady lied about their age. And, you know, saying, and gave them a false, you know, saying, gave them a false age. And when, you know, adults found out that person went to jail, or that person had to register. And you got to go back to the fact that when that person met that other person, they were not looking for an underage person. So the attempt was not, you know, saying, them messing around with someone underage was accidental. This isn't the same situation of people out there that are looking for underage girls and stuff. I'm saying you have men walking around knowing that in their head they slept with someone that they met, and they're thinking in their head like, all right, cool, we had a really nice time, you know, saying, I was respectful. She stayed the night, word, got the, you know, saying, got it in. You know, everything's good. Hopefully she calls, all that good stuff. come to find out, you find out she's in high school. You're now having a heart attack. Somebody else found out because there was photos, and now someone's calling you because you about to go to jail and you got to get a lawyer. I'm like, yo, it's really messed up out here that there's some, you know, there's young ladies out there that can completely lie. I am not talking about young men. I'm not talking about men that go out there seeking for youth. I'm talking about just guys out there. Hell, you can be using, you know, Tinder or certain adult, you know, dating apps, and you can run into somebody that lies. I told my fiance that, you know, I read this story about this young guy, met a girl on Tinder. Come to find out, she lied about her age. They did have sex. Parents found out, pressed charges. Then the parent, and this was the crazy part, found out that you know, that their child lied and was, you know, went on Tinder and went on a whole date and everything and tried to get the, you know, the DA to, you know, drop the charges. And they were like, no, we're good. Like, we're good here. We're not dropping the charges. And the person, you know, couldn't, like, their whole life is ruined. Like, completely ruined. So that was just my thought, like, that the movie just fucked me up for a little bit. But, like, just please, if I got any, you know, any listeners out there, 15, stay 15, please. Don't lie. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. Please share. You know, that word of mouth is always amazing. You know, tell people to listen. Thank you so much if you are one of my regular listeners. You know, again, just keep on giving that word of mouth. We thank you so much here at PBO Show. And just check with us next time for our next episode. Thank you, guys.